If we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the volume 2 of our report explains that decision. It explains that under long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he is in office. That is unconstitutional. Even if the charge is kept under seal and hidden from public view, that too is prohibited. The special counsel's office is part of the Department of Justice, and by regulation, it was bound by that department policy. Charging the president with a crime was therefore not an option we could consider.
It is 6:41. Our friend Chuck Todd from the Chuck Todd Cast, Meet the Press Daily, Meet the Press on Sundays, longest running show in the history of the universe, joins us now. Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, one of the things that jumped out at me at the Mueller thing yesterday is this: the president's above the law, based on a policy, not a law, a policy. Doesn't this policy from the Justice Department have to be court tested at some point? And if not now, when?
Well, it probably does need to be court tested. I think the fact is everybody's afraid of it being court tested, because no matter what, potentially the fear is you're going to, you know, essentially shake the American government, weaken it, put it in a vulnerable state. If you have the head of your executive not able to perform to 100% of their abilities, worried too much about an investigation or something like that. So that certainly is always, so nobody wants to test the premise, test the case to see not just what the courts would do, but what if the courts would say he isn't above the law. I would imagine that the courts would likely say that to a point, but you're right. The policy essentially does put the president above the law. And currently, right now, the president seems to be in charge of the law,
so
whether you like it or not.
If we go back to 2016, there's a lot of things we would never expect a president to do, which now seem like, you know, oh, yeah, that too. And everybody jumps to, and I don't think unfairly, well, what if he kills somebody? And that's the obvious jump here when it comes to a discussion of whether or not the president's above the law. Where's the line? Where's the line that says action has to be taken, and is it just a judgment call?
Well, I mean, I think that's the problem, is that I don't think we like it when it's a judgment call. When it's a judgment call, then we're putting it in the hands of some sort of political appointee in some form or another. So I think we wish it weren't a, quote, judgment call, that there would be an opportunity for us to know what the lines are. To, you know, I think this is actually part of Nancy Pelosi's challenge among House Democrats. They're, you know, they're saying they're not there yet on impeachment. Okay, but what does there look like?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Tell us what that looks like, rather than just making it a judgment call. I think that's been the difficulty of dealing with Mueller from the get go is, okay, what are you going to do with the information that he finds? Right. And it was never clear what was going to be done with the information that was found. I mean, the assumption was it would end up in Congress's hands. Well, here we are. And I think now you've got the Justice Department or Barr people trying to argue that it wasn't meant as a referral to Congress, when I think most people assume that's exactly what Mueller was doing.
Mr. Barr is going to be a footnote in history at some point, in his behavior is certainly deserving of that, but he's still a very central figure in all this now. Is he going to be some sort of sacrificial lamb if they don't go to the president? Well, we'll kick this guy out instead.
Oh, I think that's possible, but I kind of think that there's also some, if you're going to expend energy going after him, you know, are you missing, you know, are you missing the target, right? Should you be, if your beef's really with Trump, why are you just going after Barr because he's an easier target? He's a gettable target. You know, it's, and you know, I thought that was a bad look on Republicans when they just went after Holder because they felt like they couldn't go after Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that you gotta have a reason. Look, I think Mueller exposed Barr as basically doing a politicizing the Justice Department. You know, whatever you think of Barr, even if you agree with the decisions that he makes, you can't look at what Mueller presented and say that Barr gave an honest, straightforward version of events. He clearly skewed and spun that report, which we all could see for ourselves. But now Bob Mueller is saying it by just simply doing what he did yesterday, giving a drier presentation of the facts as they were presented in the report, not as they were spun by Bill Barr.
The Mueller declaration of sorts, saying, look, I have no interest in speaking publicly or speaking to Congress about this. Certainly could be subpoenaed to do that. But he basically said, I'm not going to say anything that you can't read right here. So read the report. It speaks for itself. Is Nancy Pelosi waiting for some magic to happen, or is she trying to play a little stall here, a little old Dean Smith box and one, run out the clock till we get to the election season and everybody agrees with her?
I think she's trying to run out the clock. She would say she's waiting to see what more they find before they make a final decision, but I think it's running out the clock by another name, to be honest. And I think she's hoping to get to Labor Day. And if she can get through, essentially, if they can get to the August recess, I think that the impeachment isn't going to happen. But see, I go the other way. I think that if they're going to, if they think it's inevitable that they're going to end up doing this, then they are actually, it would behoove them to do it quickly and efficiently. So, and I don't think they've even thought about, if they do it, what does it look like? And I think they need to be thinking about those things.
It's the inside the beltway thing, man. That's the bubble. The constitutional oversight's not optional, and the Democrats have an opportunity here to go in and say, we are doing our jobs as the Constitution dictates, and lay it out that way and publicly state your case.
I think this is the Iraq War debate all over again.
Yeah, totally.
Among Democrats, and I think that what seems politically smart in the moment, voting for this Iraq war back in 2002, that was the politically safe thing to do. Democrats were trying to hold on to the Senate. They didn't want to get, they didn't want to get on the wrong side of the red, white, and blue in an election year right after 9/11. So they, for political, there was a lot of pressure to basically go with the president on this. 5 years later, that vote for Iraq was lethal enough to cost Hillary Clinton the presidency. Okay? And that's the question I think these Democrats have to ask themselves. What seems politically smart right now, what's it going to look like in 5 years?
Pat Brady.
And how many of you, and many of you may have political careers that you hope last in 5 years. What is that vote going to look like?
Yeah, 1,000%. Pat Brady, say hi to Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, you might have just answered my question on this on both sides of the aisle. Is there any strategy long term by the Democrats? And I think there's risk, too. It'd be interesting to hear what you have to think about this on the Republicans. If they delay all this, Bob Mueller's testifying next summer, which I think is a lot worse than him testifying next month.
That's true. Look, I think there's risk. This is where I don't understand. The Democrats don't have any strategy. And if they did, I don't understand why they haven't made Republicans cast a whole bunch of votes to tighten the laws on foreign interference, criminalize meetings like the Trump Tower meeting if you don't report it, things like this.
Right.
Force some votes. Put Republicans on the record. My guess is most of them are going to vote for this stuff, but those that want to sit there and protect Trump, okay. Now you've got them on the record protecting Trump. Point is, do something. Right. Have a, and this is a dual straight, on one hand, clearly Mueller is begging Congress to fix our laws in order to sort of make it easier to criminalize foreign interference. That's one thing. And at the same time, it could serve as a political tool for Democrats. But they've sort of totally lost control of what they're even investigating. I mean, if you ask them, what are you investigating? They would sit there, well, we got his tax returns, we got his business records, Adam Schiff will say money laundering, and I'm sitting there going, how about investigating Russian interference?
Right.
How about investigating that? How about criminalizing that? How about passing some laws so that we strengthen our campaign finance laws and then go from there? I think it's possible support for Trump could be a version of the Iraq war vote for Republicans down the road. But make them cast some votes here. Make them make a decision. You know, what would the Republicans be doing if they were in this situation? They'd be wedging Democrats to death.
Yep.
With difficult votes. And this is where the Democrats, sometimes they don't know how to use the limited power that they have.
Shoving them up against a locker and asking for their lunch money. What were you saying, Pat?
No, just to that point, I actually read the report, which says more about my social life than anything. But if you read through the obstruction piece of it, there are 8 or 9 points in there. If they're out in the public, I think public opinion does change when you actually see what he did while he was president of the United States.
It's exactly right. If you read this report, it's very troubling. It's just very troubling. And I think both parts of the report, I think part one reads like a spy novel that's a bit scary when you realize, you know, what they did succeed in doing. And I've never understood why Democrats have not been able to make the president essentially make it a bad stance to say the phrase Russian hoax. They should make that phrase saying, so you don't believe the Russians interfered in the election? You know, that should be the standard here. And this is where Trump has sort of recast the narrative of the Russian hoax is this entire idea that the Russians were trying to help. I mean, which to me is, that's a more dangerous narrative for him to be spinning, because it basically lets the Russians off the hook.
And it's a little disheartening this morning that a good portion of at least the morning show's coverage prior to the show this morning was about whether or not the battleship John McCain had its name covered up so Trump wouldn't be offended. Look, it's not an unimportant story, but it certainly doesn't rank with the rest of this.
Can I just tell you, I know, that is one of those where I'm never proud of my business. I'll just be honest with you. I think we're over-covering it for the same reason. It's like, I feel the same way. You're like, this is symbolic of the Trump era. This is symbolic of the type of bizarre loyalty test that he has created. I think it's certainly disappointing that the Pentagon, that somebody at the Pentagon or some advanced person put the fear of life in people on this. But I'm with you. It's sort of like, this is where I sometimes think the Trump outrage machine out here, it's always at 11, to borrow a Spinal Tap phrase. You know, if you just keep screaming every story at 11 about Trump, none of it's going to penetrate.
I think you and I talked about this.
You know,
off the air, maybe on, I don't remember, but here's a newsflash. Trump's petty and the White House is a zoo. I mean, that's essentially what the story is. So
that's right. And by the way, I can give you an example every day.
Yeah.
So the question is, do you want to cover that story every day, or, you know, do we try to surface something that you didn't know that you should?
I'll let you go on this. I know you don't miss any of this stuff because you somehow catch all states' politics and all cities' politics and things. But Ed Burke got scolded by our new mayor yesterday in a way, if you haven't seen the video, you need to. So that's just a tip from your friend, Steve.
Well, I will take a look at that. That's we've talked about this before. I mean, at some point, you got to think that the two machines are going to die here. I don't know how many times voters have to send the message that they're sort of exhausted from the old machine style of politics, whether left or right. But it is amazing how much these machines cling to power in the state of Illinois.
Well, later on, I'll be announcing my new party affiliation. I'm a Whig as of today, partly because of my hair loss. Chuck, always great. Thank you. We'll see you this weekend.
Thanks, guys. You got it.
Chuck Todd, Meet the Press daily, and Meet the Press on Sunday. And a new Chuck Toddcast is out.